Free FM.
Here you can be free.
Penn Jillette.
First day you've tuned in, a lot of destruction, a lot of funny monkey stories. Yes, we've covered Lancelot Link. We've also covered Peter Tork with a nice story about him breaking a stove. So if you have a monkey story, one of the EE varieties, you'll probably want to go with Mickey Dolenz, Davy Jones, or Mike Nesmith. I have a fabulous Mike Nesmith story that I'm saving for when we need it, because sometimes, you know, we may get in trouble. Although it seems like Monkey Tuesday is a bottomless pit of wonderful, wonderful stories. So 866-570-PEN, 7366. I'm sure you've all got monkey stories. You know, I kind of hope Bernice has another monkey story and calls in from England. That was wonderful.
You just send her to the zoo. Let's send her $20. Go down to the zoo until something happens.
But let's start today with a sad story. We're going to start this new function on Monkey Tuesday. This is brand new. And I may have to talk to Jonesy about this because we may need to put that in a minor key. Because this is Monkey Obituaries. Final tribute to Chico, 36. He was all monkey business. This is written by Esther Cepeda, a staff reporter in the Chicago Sun-Times. Chico, Capuchin Monkey, is shown celebrating his 36th birthday. Well, that was the year he died, in January, at the Animal Kingdom on the Northwest Side. He looked dapper in the vest and pants he wore when performing for corporate bigwigs, celebrities, and politicians. His soulful brown eyes and nimble little hands were outstretched to meet countless children on his visits to area schools and libraries. His high-pitched laugh rang out across his kingdom when his favorite dinner, thin crust pepperoni pizza with extra cheese, was served. Chico the Monkey, a Capuchin, died in his home in the Animal Kingdom on city's Northwest Side Sunday afternoon from what his handler Bob Hoffman described as a stroke of a baseball bat. I'm probably
You're
not
editing.
I am. Well, I'm just adding things in. Editing's usually taking stuff out. I'm adding them in. The 36-year-old Chico was adopted from a private faculty. Facility, I guess would be the word, in Cincinnati when he was 8 months old by Hoffman, a second-generation organ grinder. He was like my son, said Hoffman. It was just like having a 20-month-old child. He'd throw his temper tantrums, what a joy, and he hated wearing his hat. But when the music played, he'd go around shaking hands and taking coins from the children. He was a little therapist. During his off hours, Chico held court from his pen at the Animal Kingdom, a goodwill ambassador greeting people when they came to visit the store, often showering with treats and presents. But Chico wasn't all business. He was more than just an attraction, said Barbara Wagner, the animal developer manager, who spent the last 13 years caring for Chico. I wonder if it's Chico or Chico, because it's Chico if it's Marx Brothers. It may be Chico if it's...
It's a monkey.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he was a spitfire, but he was also a mentor to the new animals. He was like a little therapist. When Chico wasn't reading the newspaper, reading is in quotes, reading the newspaper and playing with toys, he spent his time caring for the new arrivals, including puppies and kittens, said store manager Steve. Hoffman had noticed Chico winding down the last 2 weeks, had a feeling that the end was near. Capuchin monkeys don't make it past the age of 8 in the rainforests of South America and usually don't live longer than 18 years in captivity. But Chico wouldn't want his legions of admirers to be sad. They said he wants you to smile and remember him for what he was, a wild and crazy monkey. So goodbye. Let's play a little Monkey Tuesday music for Chico. While we're doing that, you kind of picture him in his little hat and vest dancing around.
36 years.
Yeah, that's
wow.
In the wild, he would have lived 8.
It's a pretty good deal. I might consider captivity.
Yeah,
now that I've heard
you're
that.
Good. You're pretty good. It's a pretty good idea. 866-570-PEN, 7366. PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. We're taking phone calls about monkeys, of course. Why wouldn't we? And let's take this call. Let's talk to Mike.
Sure, why not?
What's up, Mike?
Hey, Penn. Big fan. Love the show.
Thank you so much. You got a monkey story for us?
I've got a monkey story. I'm actually calling from Baltimore, Maryland.
Okay, hello, Balmer.
Hello. Outside of Baltimore, there's a place called the Catoctin Mountain Zoo.
Ooh, it was we, little haven't mom the, we haven't heard about this place yet. A new
yeah,
monkey place. This is
one of them. It was a little mom-and-pop run zoo, and they had all sorts of regular animals, but they also had one extremely large chimp.
Aren't mom-and-pop zoos the best? There's a level of creepy kitsch and gentleness all mixed together that are so
also,
wonderful in those.
and also an element of danger.
Yeah,
attached
oh, absolutely.
To it.
We have that in Vegas. We have a kind of an interactive zoo.
Yeah. And when I lived in Greenfield, Massachusetts, up the Mohawk Trail, or up the trail, as my mom would say, we had a place we went to feed the bears. And it was this supposedly Indian-themed place where they just had bears in little cages, and they'd sell you for a quarter a handful of bear chow.
Hamburger.
Yeah. And you'd throw it to the bears. And they were these little kind of depressed cages with bears in them. So I love mom-and-pop zoos. It's one of the great things for those of us who are connoisseurs of cruelty in our own ways. It's a great thing. But go on. Tell us this little mom-and-pop story.
Well, they had this big chimp there, and he was full size, and he had his own little enclosure, and he basically, his favorite thing was there was an ice cream stand across the street.
Sure.
So the trainers would go and get him ice cream, and that's what kept him happy most of the time. Well, mm-hmm. he finally broke out of his cage and ran across the street towards the ice cream stand. There was a park next to it, climbed up into the tree, and basically wouldn't come down.
Yeah.
So they had to get everybody out of the way, and he's really agitated. Well, the trainer comes over to try to get him down with an ice cream, and for the sake of arguments, we'll say that the monkey's name was Coco, and he kept going, Coco, come on down, I got ice cream for you. Well, Coco leapt out of the tree onto the guy, bit his finger off,
yeah!
killed him,
yeah!
and then
wait,
ate the ice cream.
Slow down! Slow down! You can't just say the monkey leapt out of the tree and bit a guy's finger off without giving us time to react and rejoice. You
okay.
back up a little bit and you tell it slow like it's a penthouse story that we're reading with one hand, okay?
Okay.
You listen to me, Mike. You tell this slow and let us enjoy our monkey stuff.
All
He's
right.
up
well,
in the
I
tree.
Was...
The trainer comes over. What does the trainer say?
For the sake of argument, let's call him Bill. And... This happened when I was a kid, and I was actually camping with my family, and the rangers had to come to tell us we had to move from our campground because they didn't know what was going to happen with this monkey.
See, this
so it was pretty funny, and they tried to lure him out of the tree with the ice cream, and, you know, it's the same trainer that's been working with the monkey all his life.
Yeah.
But I guess he'd had enough because
he just leapt
from the top of the tree on top of the guy,
yeah.
bit his finger off, and then jumped up.
Bit his finger off.
Yes.
Which finger? Do you remember? You were kids. You probably don't.
No, I don't remember.
For the sake of argument, let's say it's his middle finger. Just bites it off.
Just what I was just going to say that.
Go ahead.
And bit it right clean off, then proceeded to jump up and down on top of the guy.
Yeah! And this monkey weighs like what, 140?
Probably about that.
Yeah,
you know, full size chimp.
We know a little bit about full-size chimps, sir. We can fill in some of the details. Go ahead.
Stomped the guy to death, and then ate the ice cream. But ate the ice cream, and they finally put the monkey down.
Oh yeah!
They shot it on the site. So it's got a happy ending, but
well,
it's a violent ending.
It's a glorious death. It's a glorious death. You know,
yes,
it's like the
is.
End of Bonnie and Clyde or something. You know, it's glorious. I mean, he may have been sad, but let's just get this. He's yelling. Let's say for the sake of argument that the monkey's name is Fluffy. He's yelling, "Hey Fluffy, come on down here, get the ice cream." Ice cream, and then, you know, just a singing cloud. And I'm picturing that Kurosawa is doing this, and it's in slow motion, you know. And the monkey comes down and goes, "I'm Fluffy." And just bites off the guy's middle finger. So for that brief amount of time that he had one gesture he wanted to do to the monkey, he no longer could. See, you want to put the impotence of being a human in there with the one. This is Hemingway. You got Hemingway here, okay? This is Hemingway. What you've got is the modern man who's impotent against the terror and rage and dark truth of the universe, which is let's call the monkey Pee-Pee, who's up in the tree. He has no sort of no way to contain the rage, and the one kind of gesture that he has, it's like primal and instant and really has a lot of hate in it. The monkey first. Nature. This is the white whale, Mike. You've got a hold of some Ahab the trainer with his ice cream, which is kind of like Starbucks. Maybe it's Starbucks ice cream, even better. He's holding it, and Ahab the trainer, he's yelling to the white monkey. It's a giant white monkey in the tree, right? Giant white ape. Biggest, this is probably like 700-800-pound chimpanzee. Who represents nature, and this guy's striving to contain nature in his mom and pop. Let's say Queequeg is the mom in the mom and pop, covered with tattoos, trying to get ancient, the cannibal. It blocks the sun, right? The sun went dark for a while. All the birds stopped cheeping. Whoa!
Can I, And the monkeys kind of Captain Kurt's Heart of Darkness.
Yeah. Exactly,
right?
The Heart of Darkness. It is absolutely the Heart of Darkness. It is Apocalypse Now. The monkey comes down. I thought you were the CO. Wound too tight for Vietnam. Probably wound too tight for the South Bronx. Rock and rollers with 1 foot in the grave. The horror. The horror. The horror. Sell the wife. Sell the kids. I'm never coming back. Bites off his middle fingers. The one little bit he has, his kind of manhood, his symbolic manhood, just bitten off by the danger, by the horror, by the nature of the monkey. Gah! And then nature, the man with all his machines, all his power, all his wars, all his intelligence, all his technology, is no match for the chimp. Let's call him Cheetah, jumping up and down on his chest until he is dead. And the young child nearby in the campgrounds sees this whole spectacle, and his whole life is changed, and he grows up to become Mike. What are you?
I'm a contractor.
Yeah.
But I used to be a radio producer.
Sandy Koufax.
I used to work
Sandy
at a radio.
Okay, we got to work on the let's call the end. The thing that let's call the boy grows up to be, let's call him Sandy Koufax.
Sandy Koufax, a famous baseball.
Let's call him Mike Tyson. Let's call him Doctors Watson and Crick. Let's call him Dr. Penn. Let's call him something. But maybe you don't want... See, you built that story up beautifully. You know, the Heart of Darkness stuff and everything. That was gorgeous. Tying it with Moby Dick. Very, very smart stuff. And you kind of let us down with a contractor. I'm sorry. The door frames are not going to be in for another 2 weeks. What the hell can I do? My hands are tied. I do not have the door frames. I cannot put them in if I do not have them. And do you know why? Do you know why, Mr. Jenkins? I'll tell you why. Because nature bit off the middle finger of an impotent modern man. That's the reason, Mike. Thank you so much for your call. That was a beautiful call.
Thank you. Love the show.
Beautiful call. Just a gorgeous call.
The humidity hung in the air like a bunch of bananas.
You felt the monkey stench all around. Let's talk to Warren. Hey, Warren, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Never better, boss. How are
Run
you?
Run for your life, Warren.
I drive very fast when I listen to this show every day. Like an ape.
Yeah.
So in Chinatown here in Vegas, have you seen the statue that they have in the center of it?
Oh, yeah. There is a big statue there, right? In the middle of, yeah. Chinatown, for those of you who don't know, Chinatown in Vegas is less than a block, isn't it?
Yeah, Chinatown is more like China Corner.
China Strip Mall.
China Mall, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the statue there is of the ancient mythological creature from China called the Monkey King.
Oh.
Yes.
You're thinking the symbol of our show, aren't you?
Yes, very much. I saw it and I was in awe.
We're going to have to get a truck.
We're going to get a truck.
We're going down there tonight.
How big
is it?
A
bunch of MIT students.
It's life size.
Life size?
What does that mean?
Well,
there's no Monkey King. There's no such thing. How can it be life? It's a life-size dragon. No, it can't be. It's a life-size Peter Pan. How do we know any of this? There is no life in these things. How big is it? In feet. Not in real life.
He's probably about 5 feet tall.
Yeah, we should be able to cop him. And what do you what do you think he's worth? A case of beer?
In yen? In yen or in the dollar? Probably $5.
Probably $5. Well, do you think there's somebody somewhere, maybe in Vegas, who could be...
Stop. You must stop now.
Yeah, this is like... is there suborning monkey thievery that you're worried about?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Maybe David Blaine could make it disappear.
No, David Blaine would stand next to it and hold his breath till he turned blue. If I don't get attention, I'm going to hold my breath. Oh, monkey statue. I haven't seen that before. It's red or something, right?
No, it's gold.
I knew that. By red, I meant gold. It was just a guess because everything in Chinatowns is red, I thought.
Or gold.
Yeah, they couldn't afford jade, so they went with gold.
Is it a nice statue?
Yeah, it's cool. Look, it looks just like the Monkey King.
There is no Monkey King. It can't be life-size. It can't look just like it. I think that one of these days, Godot and I, we're on a field trip, and we go over to the studio or something, we got to stop by there and get a picture taken. Put it right up on the webpage. But thank you so much for hipping us to that, Warren. And we're going to go for a break now. 866-570. What are you doing? What the hell are you doing? Stop that music. Jesus Christ. What day is it, Casey? We'll be back with more Monkey Tuesday. 866-570-PEN-7366. In the animal power, biting off the middle finger. If that isn't symbolic, I don't know what is. Yeah, this is... Yeah, this is Penn Jillette on this wonderful Monkey Tuesday. And I had some great stories so far. Great, great stories. Blocking out the sky. I'm not sure I believe that the chimpanzee in the top of the tree was actually 900 pounds. Do you? I'm not sure I believe that, but it's a beautiful, beautiful metaphor.
He said 870.
870? Okay, he was rounding off then. But even if it was 850, let's say he exaggerated a little bit, it's still a huge goddamned monkey. 866-570-PEN-7366. And the huge goddamn monkey talking to you right now is named Penn Jillette. PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. Sitting here with Michael Goudeau, sitting across from me. We're two men who juggle for a living and love monkeys. I was going to do some other stuff, but Happy Jack is going crazy, thinking we have a great story. You want to go right to him, right to the story? He's telling me, go right to the story. So I got some other news to do, but I'll go into that later. Let's go to Regan or Reagan? Is it Regan or Reagan?
Regan.
How are you doing, Regan?
I'm good. It's Regan, R-E-G-A-N. There's no A in the middle. It's Democratic spelling, Democratic pronunciation.
Okay, Regan.
Not like a former president at all.
But exactly like the little girl in
The Exorcist.
In The Exorcist, yeah.
Yeah. And I've been known to throw up pea soup, too. But anyway, years ago, I was a dolphin trainer. I'm talking back in 1976.
When dolphin trainers meant something.
when we did impress a lot of people. But anyway, it was a small marine park in Mississippi, and we had dolphins, sea lions, and the owner had rescued an abused female chimpanzee, and we named her Lucy. Mm-hmm. And she would just kind of hang around the park, and then we eventually worked her into the show where one show a day, we couldn't do this every show, but one show a day, we'd put her in a sailor suit, and she would lope down the center aisle and get into a boat, and the dolphins would pull her around. Because she had been abused, she didn't like children.
Good.
And we would tell, we would make an announcement, here comes Sailor Lucy, she's going to sail the seven seas, and so, big to do.
Were you the announcer?
No, I was one of the trainers.
Okay.
And we would have the ushers try to keep people from reaching out to her. She, how chimpanzees walk, they got that kind of loping thing.
Yeah, like my daughter.
I don't know your daughter. Yeah, but anyway.
Just like that.
She would come down the center aisle.
Uh-huh.
And occasionally she would stop, she would look at a child, and she would unleash a left hook right into the kid's face. And then just as casual as you please, continue on down the center aisle, get in the boat, and waved to the crowd as the dolphins pulled her around. And the other thing she would do is when the show...
How did the owner of the park square those beefs?
I never knew. I think because of the fact that we did make an announcement and, she was, had been abused in the past or whatever, please keep your hands off of Lucy. But if you reached out for her, I think he would tell you, look, you stepped over a line.
Wow.
We told you not to reach out for her, and you did. And, she was just like Mike Tyson. She would drop that left hand and bang, right in the face.
That was in the sweet, less litigious times of the year.
Oh, yeah.
You'd never get away with it now.
And the other thing she would do is between shows, we would leave the dolphins out to exercise and swim in the main pool. Mm-hmm. And she would get on the island, which was our stage, mm-hmm. and she would squat on the edge of the island. And when the dolphins would come up to look at him, she'd punch them. And then she would laugh. She would punch the dolphins and then just laugh uproariously.
Great monkey.
I'm with her on that one.
But yeah, that's my Monkey Tuesday story.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
And it's an honor to talk to you guys.
Thank you so much, Regan. Thank you.
That was a great story.
I was accused of killing a dolphin. Did you not?
No.
Really? When I worked at Great Adventure, which is now called Six Flags in New Jersey, which we've heard stories at the animal park there, and part of my love of monkey violence was cemented in those years in Great Adventure. I worked there, I believe, 74. I worked there as a juggler. And I would go to the, when I first got into work, before the park opened, I would go over to the water park where they had the dive show, you know, the Aquabats, you know, the Aquanuts.
Aquanuts,
the Aquanuts. Hey, what are you doing there? Get off there. Yeah. Now the horse and rider. Yeah. The
Where's your grammar?
Yeah.
Back there on the farm with grammar. Yeah. I know those guys.
Yeah, sure. Carburetor ain't carburetin'. And you know, the same as the Hurricane Hell Driver clowns. And I really, I auditioned to do the part of the announcer in that show. But I was considered to have a good voice, but to be too crazy. They just said, you're too crazy. We can't put you in front of a microphone.
This is not Aqua Nutty Nuts.
Yeah, but remember, they said I was too crazy to put in front of a microphone.
Oh, well, there you go.
Free FM begs to differ. Great adventure. But I would go in the morning because I was still a little bit of a hippie. And I would go in the morning and kind of commune with the dolphins. I wouldn't do anything. I'd just sit on the edge of the tank. And the dolphins would come up. And I wouldn't touch them even because I don't like to touch things. And I would just look at them and they go like, you know.
Wow.
You know. Speak.
People probably don't believe that you are actually doing that noise. I can get you a job.
And I would sit there, and then
Ben Gillette, voice of Flipper.
And I would Jack is mesmerized.
This is the first time where we actually need video of the show, because that's astonishing.
That's but and one of the dolphins croaked. That's where the story gets sweet, you know. And they found, I guess, a key ring inside the dolphin that had choked the dolphin to death. So immediately they rushed right over to me because they thought it was some sort of, like I'd flipped out. Like they said I was too crazy to announce the dive show. So in a wild fit of retaliation, like, you know, Letterman Stalker or something, I'd gone and fed the dolphins like a boiled bunny. I will not be ignored. I must say, where's your grammar? They accused me of, and I said I had never fed the dolphins anything, and indeed showed my keys, which I thought was my best defense, right? See, I have my keys, and they thought I could have got out. So they never was enough to fire me or fine me, but from then on, I did not ever go to the tank, and all the people that worked with the dolphins looked at me askance. So if anybody who worked with the Great Adventure Dolphins in the 70s and thinks back on this crazy juggler who they thought killed the dolphin, I did not kill the dolphin. And why would I lie now? Just because I'm too crazy to put in front of a microphone? Well, I am in front of a microphone now, you bastards! All of you! I hope you're dead. Let's take a call here. I haven't even looked over these here. what do you think? What line you like here? Let's take Matt, shall we?
Sure.
Hey, Matt, what's up? This is Penn and Michael Goodell. How are you?
Hey, what's up, guys? Good to talk to you. Love the show.
Thanks so much.
You know, it's funny you were just talking about Great Adventure because that's what my story actually relates to.
Oh, isn't that nice? It all goes together. See, there is a God, God damn it! Go ahead.
I'll tell you, man, it is the hot spot of the Big NJ.
The Garden State.
So I used to go to Great Adventure a lot as a kid with my family, and I was always enthralled with the finale of the drive-through safari, which was the monkey area,
sure.
I guess.
And
what always struck me was that they actually had a bypass road called the Monkey Bypass Road.
Yes, they did.
Where if you drove a car with a vinyl roof, mm-hmm. they would sort of force you down that road,
yeah.
Because the monkeys would tear your car apart.
Yeah.
So, which I thought was awesome, especially like, you know, 10 or 11, 12 years old, you know?
Yeah, of course.
So
I beg to differ. I believe at 10 or 11 years old, it's awesome, but it gets even better when you're 51. How old are you?
I would tend to agree with you. So here's what happened. Years removed from being 10 and 11 years old, a buddy of mine and I, just after the winter thaw, decided that we would drive down to the outlets in Jackson, New Jersey to buy shoes. And while we were down there, it was one of those spur-of-the-moment plans of, hey, do you think that maybe the drive-through safari's open?
Mm-hmm.
So we drove to Great Adventure, and we were the only car. It was like the scene
Apocalypse?
No, in National Lampoon's Vacation, where they drive to Wally World. And
oh, yeah.
They're the only car there.
I have never seen National Lampoon's Vacation, but I've seen Apocalypse 15 times. So I was thinking of a lone boat going down the river, but go ahead.
You know, there are very big similarities between those two scenes. So, anyway, the we drive into the drive-thru safari area, and the girl who's sitting in the booth is actually kind of stunned that we're even there. So we asked her, I said, is the zoo open? She said, well, yeah, we just opened for the season.
Uh-huh.
And it was still cold. I mean, we were still wearing winter jackets.
Uh-huh.
So it was $7 for the car. So we drove in. We were like, God, you can't beat this for $7.
Sure.
And we drove in.
It's freezing cold. There's no animals. We're the only car. But hell, yeah, it's only $7.
I kid you not, guys. We drove in, and those animals looked like they'd been shot with Thorazine, or as if it was the first time they'd ever seen a car, because it was almost like, you know, every rhino and giraffe and goat and gazelle was coming over to the car to check us out. So
sure,
it was pretty great.
Yeah.
And not to mention, we were, you know, the only car in there. So
sure,
I couldn't wait to get to the monkeys, right?
So, of course not.
So we're driving through in an old Volkswagen Jetta, which had a steel top. So I was like, no way are we hitting the bypass road. We're
right,
going
sure,
through.
Sure.
Right. So we get to the monkey area, and my friend Justin, who's driving, is saying, he's like, are we sure you want to do this? He's like, he'd never been there. You know, I was like, come on, this is the best part.
Sure.
So we get into the monkey pen, and it was almost, as soon as the gate closed behind us, it was almost like they rang the dinner bell. And it was like out of the little shacks and caves and whatever they keep the monkeys in, hundreds of heads just popped up and came flying out. And it immediately turned into that scene from The Omen where she takes him to the zoo and the monkeys freak out.
Yeah.
So at first it was awesome. We're sitting in the car and all these monkeys are really just mugging the car.
Yeah.
So finally we must have had, I, without an exaggeration, I would say at least 30 monkeys on this little Jetta.
Oh, that's like, great.
Right? So at one point we started hearing them banging on the roof and banging enough to where it was starting to vibrate inside the car, and we started getting a little bit frightened because they're big sort of baboons.
Sure.
So I said to my buddy Justin, didn't know what to do, so I said, look, dude, just gun it. Just gun the car and then stop short. Hit the brakes.
Oh, yeah.
We did. All the monkeys fell off. But then I think that was the worst thing we could have done because they must have called for reinforcements because from all over the place, they just were to jump all over the vehicle. So we finally heard this tearing sound on the metal roof.
Oh, go.
So I was starting to freak out.
Yeah.
Holy smokes, they're gonna rip the roof off the car because we heard this like sort of tearing sound.
Yeah.
So I told my buddy Justin again, I said, just go, man. So we went, and as we went, we swerved, and we were like back and forth trying to knock the monkeys off the car. So we did, and as we were leaving the monkey pen, we were coming to the end of the Great Adventure drive-through safari, and there was a ranger standing at the end. And he sort of was looking at the car the way your parents look at you if you, like, pee in your pants when you're too old.
Sure.
You know what I mean? With that sort of look of disgust.
We all know that look.
Head.
Yeah.
I know the look well. So anyway, it didn't really say anything to us. We got out into the parking lot. We checked out his car to see what was wrong. And what they had done is they had ripped the two rain gutters on each side of the car into the shape of two giant deer antlers. So it looked like the rain gutter's been bent forward, so it looked like two big deer antlers on top of the car.
So this was an artist colony of monkeys.
What?
This was an artist colony of monkeys.
Absolutely. So, needless to say, we tried to bend them back in this place, but you can't do anything. So we had to drive an hour back up to North Jersey with deer antlers, rain gutters on top of the car, and never forgot my monkey experience. It was really sad to hear that they actually confined them to cages. So.
Yeah, that takes all the fun out. They can't attack. Well, thank you so much, Matt. I've already let you go like 3 minutes after I was supposed to take a break, but thank you. Thanks,
hey, thanks, man. Take care, dude.
Okay, man. Thanks a lot. This is Monkey Tuesday. We'll be back right after this. 866-570-7366. It's a good Monkey Tuesday. Always a good. I let the dolphin sing one chorus. The dolphin take. They're trading fours with the dolphin, the monkeys. We're here on a Monkey Tuesday, of course. 866-570-PEN. That's 7366. PENradio@gmail.com. PENradio.com. A day when we feature monkey stories. He said that with no exaggeration, the last guy, that there were 15,000 monkeys on his car. Remember he said that?
No exaggeration at all.
No exaggeration. 15,000. I heard that clearly. Imagine 15,000 monkeys on your car. That's a lot. That's a lot. That's like
I have a mini. It's going to be hard.
Yeah, that's like a slain Dion audience worth of monkeys. Or that's as much annoyance as almost a half of Celine Dion. 15,000 monkeys flinging dung and jumping on you and tearing off your rain gutters. It's about as bad as one verse of Titanic. Titanic. I want to talk to Holly.
Of course you do.
Of course I do. We like to get at least one woman on these shows. Monkey Tuesday seems to be more male geared. Hello, Holly. How you doing?
Great. How are you?
Never better, boss. Never better. What's up?
I can't believe you didn't mention the World Series of Poker Monkey, because there's a bunch of guys entering this monkey named Mikey into this World Series of Poker.
Really? I didn't even know that. And I know the World Series, a lot of guys in it. I know all the Full Tilt Poker guys. Tell me about it.
Well, it's actually a chimp, and the way
right,
I know
but
about
just
it
so
actually,
you know, on this show, we call chimps monkeys. It's a funnier
word. I know. Yeah. I know. It counts.
Sure.
Everyone's calling him a monkey.
Sure.
And a guy I play poker with, actually, is kind of a professional poker journalist, kind of.
Uh-huh.
And he said that they want to practice this monkey out against a couple pros before they put it in, you know, the big time.
Sure.
So he has an appointment in a couple weeks to go down to Vegas to play poker against the monkey.
Uh-huh.
And they were giving him all these tips kind of about how it's going to go. Like, the monkey doesn't quite hold the cards, but it reads them and it bets. Like,
uh-huh.
It moves the chips and everything. And
wow.
I guess the part that struck me funny was when it said he's mostly pre-flop, you know. He kind of falls apart after the flop. He folds a lot. He plays pretty tight.
He plays pretty tight. Now you know about Clever Hans, right?
No.
Clever
the horse.
Yeah,
the horse. Yeah,
yeah,
I do.
Clever Hans was that horse, that, for those of you who don't know, who did mathematics, or arithmetic, I guess. Not mathematics, but arithmetic. And this was in, what, the late 19th century, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he would do, like, you could say to him,
four plus six.
And he would tell you the answer, which I don't happen to know. But he would tap it out with his foot. And it turned out, everybody thought the horse was doing arithmetic, but it turned out he was picking up subtle cues from his trainer. So
the amazing thing was, though, the trainer didn't have to be there. I think that with Clever Hans, the horse actually figured out the response from anyone when it was.
You're right.
Time.
It was reading anybody.
So it was really
but
tricking
not
people.
Just not just anybody. It had to be somebody.
somebody.
If the horse couldn't see somebody. It couldn't do any of it.
That's what I mean.
It had to be somebody.
Yes.
So I'd be really interested to see if the monkey is really processing the cards, or if the monkey is just taking cues from people around him. Of course, if he's taking cues strictly from his opponent, then all he's doing is reading the opposition really perfectly. So it's kind of totally fair. But I got to find out more about that. If you got any information, my wife will go crazy over this. She will go nuts.
If I'm allowed to say the name of the company, it's a place called PokerShare.com that's entering in the monkey.
PokerShare?
Yeah,
okay. Well, I'm sure that my wife right now is typing that, and she will find the monkey thing, and maybe we'll be able to stop by. Are you coming to Vegas for it?
I'm not, sadly, but we'll make it to Vegas soon.
But because it's, if it's going to be a happening, we're going to want to be there. Because I'm playing poker in all these events, I think on tomorrow, actually. I think on Wednesday I'm playing all these Full Tilt poker events, playing celebrity stuff, which I don't know who the celebrities are, but probably some guy who walked on in some show, like me. You know, I walked on once in Friends, so I'm a celebrity. But thank you so much. I will look into the monkey, and I would bet by next Monkey Tuesday, we will have more information firsthand from me. I'll try to find out what I can. And my wife probably already knows all about it. She's fast on the web. So thank you so much, Holly. Thank you. I guess she stopped talking to us, didn't she?
She did. Yeah.
Let's talk to Joni. Why not talk to Joni? Hey, Joni, this is Pat. What's up?
Hey, great to talk to you. I have a awesome monkey story.
Lay it on us, baby.
Okay, when I was in college, my best friend was a guy. It was a platonic thing. His sister was getting married, so he asked me, would I go to the wedding with him as his date? And I
sure.
said, sure, why not? Nice, you know, classy family, real nice. He's like, the wedding is going to be at the Philadelphia Zoo. I'm like,
oh.
What?
Oh.
I had never heard such a thing.
Oh, no, you hadn't. And now we are.
So the reception was actually very beautiful, very classy. And it was in a nice room. And all along one wall, which was curved, was plexiglass cages, which had reptilian of all different kinds.
Uh-huh.
But behind the bride and groom's table were a couple of monkeys.
Oh!
Everything was so elegant.
Tell us, Joni, beautiful.
And, of course, the bride and groom have their back to the monkeys behind them.
Sure.
And apparently, all of a sudden, everybody just started gasping, and the bride and groom had no idea why.
Of course they didn't. The monkeys were behind them. They couldn't know.
It turns out one of the monkeys really took a liking to the bride and was not...
Oh, I understand. I understand.
...controlling himself about showing it.
Oh.
Well, everybody that catered, the staff came rushing in, and quickly they, like, tacked up a sheet over the plexiglass. But we are roaring, and the bride and groom have no idea because they didn't see it.
They never saw it?
Well, right before they got the sheet up, the bride turned around and went, "Oh, my God!" She practically fell over. But, of course, all the older people that were at the wedding, they were just, like, absolutely horrified. It was the funniest thing.
That is...
I tell that story all the time. It kills us. It's so funny.
It's a fabulous, fabulous story, Joni. And also, I must say, a little bit sexy.
Oh, thank you.
That's a great, great story. It shows, you know, in some cultures, and I forget which cultures they are because I'm making it up as I talk. In some cultures, it's considered if an animal finds your bride attractive and expresses himself that way, that's considered a symbol of good luck from the gods.
Oh, well, then they'll be married forever.
And I can't explain what culture that is because I made it up. But thank you so, so much, Joni. That was just terrific. We have a Gmail here I want to read, and it's an important question. This is from Iron Man.
Well, you know, I just want to point out that they, rather than disturb the monkey, they put up a sheet. And
that's
I think
right.
That's very respectful.
Very respectful. Very respectful. It's something you'd appreciate, isn't
I appreciate
it?
That.
That's a little bit of Michael Goudreau anthropomorphizing.
I
do
yes.
want to monkeys you know, do unto
you. Yeah.
You would not want to be hit with a hose.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you want to have a little sheet put up in front of you and finish off. Here's something from Iron Man in Australia. There's something I don't understand about these monkey stories. If monkeys bite off fingers, why do you never see monkeys with missing fingers? Do you mean to tell me that monkeys only do that to humans and not to each other? What the hell? That's my favorite paragraph. If I ever get attacked by a monkey... He's planning for this. He's planning. And all of you listening to this show should plan for what you're going to do
worst
when you're attacked
scenario.
By a monkey. Sure. Best case scenario. You get attacked by a monkey. You get to sit right in this
That's
chair.
Right. You might get free.
If someone's actually attacked by a monkey and calls us up, we'll bring them out to Vegas. We'll give them shows, everything. They can sit here as co-host one day. If I ever get attacked by a monkey, I'm going to go straight for his fingers and do my damnedest to bite one off. Basically, I'm going to get him before he gets me. And when that sad monkey is sitting around with 9 fingers, like Jerry Garcia. I threw that in there. 9 fingers and falling out of trees because he can't grip the branch properly. Word will get around the monkey population about how violent and psycho humans are. And monkeys will be scared of us because they'll know we'll bite their damn fingers off. I like Iron Man. I don't know, but monkey trainers, especially ones, you know, older monkey trainers, like the ones from the 60s and 70s, there's an article in there. Carney magazine I read called Shocked and Amazed. It's a great magazine out of Baltimore, I believe. Mm-hmm. It's put together by James Taylor. Not the wimpy James Taylor, but this other James Taylor. And it's called Shocked and Amazed. And there was a whole issue on the orangutan shows. They had the wrestling orangutan shows mm-hmm. that toured the... you know how I said orangutan like I was really cultured? orangutan shows, and they would tour the country wrestling. You wrestle orangutan, stay in the ring for 30 seconds. And, the monkeys would, like, rip their clothes off and everything.
Sure.
It was brutal. But all the trainers, and they showed pictures, had missing fingers. So I don't know if they maybe bite each other's fingers off. I don't know. But maybe with each other when they're fighting, they're just kidding. And with us, they really mean it. But they bite the fingers off, and, man, I don't like that. Because, I play bass, I juggle, I do other things with my fingers. I don't want to have my fingers bitten off by a monkey. And you can quote me on that any damn place in the world.
We could just call you 9 from then on, though. That'd be really cool. 9
So, starting tomorrow on HBO, the Aristocrats will start playing. We're going to start having comics. We'll start sneaking them in from the Aristocrats. Be a lot of funny shows coming up. I can guarantee you of that. And I also have a MySpace account. I finally get a MySpace account so I can pretend as a 51-year-old man to be a young boy and try to pick up other cops. That's going to be my plan on MySpace. If you can find it, drop me a line, but does not use my name anywhere. And why does MySpace force you to put your astrological sign? You cannot sign up. up without saying what goddamn sign you are. And I believe that that is them backing up bad science and enforcing a religion. That's all I'm saying about MySpace. It's Monkey Tuesday. We'll be back next week, Monkey Tuesday. Tomorrow, another fun-filled show. And one more time, dolphins.
Check out Penn Jillette weekdays from 2 to 3 on Free FM.